Well, good morning and Merry Christmas. Almost, we're not quite there yet, but close. It's so awesome to be with you. For those who don't know, I do this every time. Okay, I'm good. For those of you who don't know, my name is Pastor Joel, and I have the privilege of being the lead pastor here at Grace Point. Merry Christmas. Hey, it's good to be here with you. One of the things that I loved about growing up in Christmas morning was just that expectancy you had, like when you woke up as a kid. Do you remember that? Like that feeling of joy, of fun, of just waking up like ready to tear into whatever presents are under the tree. Do you guys remember that? Like there was such joy and hope and anticipation of what's happening and what the morning is going to have for us. And my family, when we were growing up, we would eat breakfast together before we could ever open any presents. And we always ate a really healthy breakfast on Christmas morning of Pillsbury cinnamon rolls. There was fruit somewhere on the table. Nobody ate it, but it was there. And we would always eat our cinnamon rolls together, and then we would always like sit and open presents together as a family and enjoy that time. But what I loved most, though, is before ever opening any presents, we always knew what we were going to get, us kids, because my mom was terrible at hiding presents. Or we were really good at finding the presents that she bought. Either one, I don't know. I remember this one year, I was in second grade, and my mom hid everything underneath our basement stairs, like we wouldn't catch it. And like it was really obvious, too. Like you could see the presents like sticking out and everything. And I remember that year because we had gotten, all three of us boys, I have two older brothers, we had each gotten an RC car. And my older brother got a Mustang. My brother Lance, he got a Corvette, and I got a nice Camaro. And it was awesome. Like, so we knew these presents were coming, and my mom would label our presents. Like, so she remembered, like, okay, this kid has, like, four presents, and okay, this kid also has four presents. Like, she made sure we were all kind of equal there. And so we knew, like, who was getting what. And I'll never forget, though, that morning, Christmas morning, coming downstairs and seeing the box there and, like, so ready to open it because we knew what it was. But my dad would, like, push it off to the side and keep waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And so we just had to wait and wait and wait and wait to open that present. And then finally we got to open it and we got to play with them. I remember it was one of those Christmas mornings where it was like it is this year, no snow and kind of warm. And so we opened them, we went around and grabbed all the remotes that we could and took all the batteries out so we could play with our RC cars to put into our RC car. And we went out into the road and in the neighborhood we lived in, we were driving the RC cars. But there's something interesting about RC cars. If you didn't know, it stands for radio control, and they use a radio frequency. And there was three of us, but our cars only had two frequencies. And so my older brother Kyle and I had the same frequency. And so when he would turn right, my car would turn right. Not fun. And it got to a point where at the end of our driveway, there was actually a sewer on the curb there. You know where this is going. I heard it. And my car happened to go into the sewer. Such a fun morning. Christmas time. It still was an awesome, awesome Christmas, though. Even though we knew we were getting these toys, even though we, mine got in the sewer, it was still so, so much fun. You know, as we've been looking at this series of promise made, promise kept, I keep thinking about the Israelites. You know, they didn't have to snoop around to figure out what was coming to them in the gift of Jesus. It was told to them plainly in all the prophets and all of the scriptures that they had. Like, this is what is coming to you. They didn't have to go on the Amazon account and look at the recent orders to see what your spouse bought you to see if yours kind of compares to theirs, right? They knew, like it was plain as day. They knew Jesus was coming, but yet still, when they heard the news of Jesus, the Messiah, how he was born, how he is here, they still had hope. They still had joy. They were renewed in their faith because God had kept his promise then, and he still keeps his promise now. Their hope had been renewed, faith restored, and they got to experience God in a very real and a very powerful way in the person of Jesus. Even though they knew he was the promise, they still, when he came, they knew what was coming. They still had all of that emotion. And so today, we're going to kind of wrap up this series, but not quite, because we still have one more week after the new year. And we're gonna look at Jesus, how Jesus is the promised one. We're going to look at all the promises together, and we're going to see how this is who Jesus is. Jesus is the one that was talked about, and he still is to this day the one that was promised to us. And now normally I do give you all the scriptures on the screen. I don't have that this morning. We're going to bounce around all over the place. And so I would encourage you to take notes if you want to. That way you can, in your personal study times, go around and look at the scriptures we talk about this morning, and you can dive deeper into those today and later on this week. But we're going to start right in the book of John, in the Gospel of John, starting looking at chapter 1 and starting in verse 1. So right at the beginning of the Gospel of John, and these are his words for us today. It says, "In the beginning the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." And then in verse 14, it tells us these words. It says, "So the Word became flesh," or "the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son." See, this passage here speaks to us about who Jesus is. Jesus is the eternal Word made flesh. In this passage, as we read it, there's something we should take note of. And when you read Scripture, you should look for repeated phrases. That way you know, like, oh, this is important. Like, I should pay attention to what's being said. And so in this passage, in John 1, 1 through 5, and then in verse 14, there's two words that are repeated over and over and over again, and it's the Word. It says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word gave life. So the Word became human, made his living among us." It's repeated over and over again. And that's something we should pay attention to as followers of Jesus when we read Scripture. And what's interesting about it is the Word in Greek, the language that it was written in, there's two translations for the phrase "the Word." So there's two words used for the Word. Are you with me? Maybe? Am I going too quick? I'm going quick because I'm hot. I can feel it. So in the Greek language, there's two words translates for the Word. The first word is fun to say. It's called rhema. Rhema. Can you say that? Say rhema. Like, ugh, yeah, get that in there. Like, rhema. And then the other word is logos. Not as fun. The meaning for this word rhema is a spoken word. And this is not the word in Greek that's used here when talking about Jesus. But an example of this in Scripture is actually found in the story of Jesus' birth. In Luke 1:38, there's an example of this translated word of Greek. And it's when Mary is replying to the angel who tells her, "You're going to give birth to a son and name him Jesus." And she's replying, like, "Even though I'm a virgin, I don't know how this is going to work." But then she says these words. It's in Luke 1:38. She says, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word," or your rhema. And so what that means is it's the spoken word that the angel just said. That's what that one translates out to be, the spoken word. Logos, though, has a broader meaning. And logos is the translation used in John 1. That's the word is logos. So in the beginning, logos already existed. Logos was with God. Logos was God. And what that means is it talks about this word logos actually talks about the entire message that is being spoken. And so an example of this is in Luke 4:32. And it says this, it says, when Jesus taught the people, they were amazed at his teaching because his word or his logos had authority. And what that's saying is the entirety of Jesus' message had a great authority to it. And the people weren't amazed just because of the very particular words he was saying, but they were amazed by the whole message that he was portraying to them in that moment. Are you with me? The reason why this is so important for us to understand is because Jesus is the total message of God. In Jesus, we find the entirety of the message. Everything God wants to communicate to man is found in Jesus. Jesus is eternal. He was with God. He is part God. That Jesus has this creating power. He can bring life and he can bring light to everyone. And Jesus has the power to reveal and to shine light in the darkness, this light that can never be extinguished. That is who Jesus is. He is the entirety of the message of God, the eternal Son, the eternal Word that is made flesh for you and for me. There's a verse that was on the screen earlier in one of the worship songs, and it's found in Philippians 2:5-7. And it tells us more and more of who Jesus is. It says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born to us as a human. Jesus gave up all that he had with the Father in heaven and all the glory with him. And he came to you and to me, and he came to us, and he came for us. Why? So that we would know the entire message of God. And we get to see this word, the logos, the entire message of God, born to a virgin. The word became flesh and made his living among us. That's who Jesus is, the eternal God, the entire message that he wants to portray to us in the flesh. And we know that because Jesus is also Emmanuel. Jesus is God with us. In the book of Isaiah, there's a prophecy of Jesus. And it's found in Isaiah 7:14. And at the time when this prophecy was given to the prophet Isaiah, there was really no hope in the Israelites. They had just lost their king and they were kind of lost and didn't know what to do. And then in Isaiah 7:14, this is the prophecy that's been given to them. It says, all right then, the Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. This was a promise, this was the sign given to the people of Israel, of Judah, actually, 700 years before Jesus was ever born. This promise was given of God with us 700 years before the day Jesus was born. And we know that Jesus is born of this promise because of the words found in Matthew 1:22-23. This is the quotation of the prophecy is actually spoken to Joseph in a dream. And Joseph, at the time when in Matthew, is considering breaking off his engagement to Mary. He found out Mary was pregnant, and things didn't take place between the two of them. And so he was considering breaking off the engagement. And then in a dream, he's spoken to by an angel of the Lord. And he's told that the baby that she's going to give birth to has been conceived by nobody else but the Holy Spirit, by God himself. And Mary's going to give birth to a son. And they're going to name him Jesus, for he's the one who's going to save people from their sin. And then in verse 22 specifically, it says, all that has been talked about to Joseph is to fulfill what was spoken to Isaiah. And we know that because the angel then quotes the verse in Isaiah and says, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive a child, she'll give birth to a son, and you will name him Emmanuel, meaning God with us. This name, Emmanuel, actually embraces the incarnation, the miracle of God with us, the miracle of Jesus, the eternal one made human. It's God in the flesh. And God has always been with his people. In some way, shape, or form, God was always with his people, either in a pillar of cloud above the tabernacle. God was with his people through the voice of all the prophets and in the Ark of the Covenant. But never was God so clearly present with his people than when he was in the person of Jesus. In the Old Testament, God's presence was in the glory that filled the tabernacle and the temple, but the glory of that is far surpassed by the personal presence of God the Son and God with us in person. See, in John 14, 8 through 9, we know that God is with us because of the words of Jesus himself. In John 14, 8 through 9, one of the disciples is speaking to Jesus, and he says, I have a request to make, Jesus. And this is what he says. He says, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough. And then Jesus replies to him and says, but I've been with you the whole time, and you still don't know me? And Jesus says, anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. I am God with you. Jesus has been showing us God the Father all along, that he is God with us. Whenever Jesus spoke, he spoke the Father's words. Whatever Jesus did, he did exactly as the Father would do. God made himself fully known to us in the person of Jesus. God reveals himself to us as our Redeemer and as our Reconciler. And though we were once separate from God through our sin, when Jesus came, what he did is he brought God and us back together. In 2 Corinthians 5:19, it says, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Why? Because that's who God is. God is a God of love who wants to be in a relationship with us, who wants to be with us. And he wants to reconcile the difference of sin that's created this chasm between you and me and God. And what we know, what I love about God, is that God wasn't just for us in that moment in the person and the life of Jesus, but God is still with us today. You can say that amen louder next time. God isn't just with us temporarily for a moment. That promise of God with us wasn't just for then. It was eternal. And we know that when we put our faith in Jesus, he lives in us. This is my favorite verse of all time. It's found in Galatians 2:20. And it says, for I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And this life I live in the earthly body, I live by faith in the Son who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ lives in us. God is with us. And Jesus reminds us of this in his very last moment on earth. In Matthew 28, verse 20, after he gives the mission of all of us to go and make disciples, he says these words. He includes a promise. He He says, "For I am with you always till the end of the age." See, the promise of God with us is still true today. And it's true for those of us who put our faith in Jesus, that he is the promised one. See, as we started this series long ago, in the very beginning of time, when God created the world, everything was good, and Jesus was there. We know that in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was Jesus. Jesus was there. Everything was created. Everything was good. Everything was functioning. And then something happened. There was a great interruption of sin that entered the world, and chaos happened. The world is no longer functioning in the way that it's supposed to. A distance was created between God and man because of our sin. But what happens is God isn't a God who just leaves it that way. He's a God of a promise. He's a God of love, of mercy. And so in the punishment of Adam and Eve for their sin, he gives them a promise. And it's when he's actually speaking to the serpent, Satan, as we know him, tempting, who was the one that tempted Adam and Eve. And as he's speaking to the serpent found in Genesis 3:15, God says these words. He says, "I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. But he will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." And then later on in John, in 1 John 3:8, this is what it tells us about who Jesus is. It says, "The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning since the beginning. But the reason the Son of God, Jesus, appeared was to destroy the devil's work." That's who Jesus is. He's God with us to destroy the work of the devil in the world, the one who caused sin to happen so long ago and wants it to continue to ruin lives as we know them. Jesus has come as the promised one to put an end to that once and for all of time. There's a passage in Acts chapter 3 that I absolutely love. And Peter is speaking to the people there. They're actually at the temple. And what's happened at this point is the Holy Spirit has actually fallen on the disciples. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. The day of Pentecost has taken place. And Peter is speaking to a crowd of people, explaining to them what has happened, because they have just witnessed a miracle, a healing took place in Acts chapter 3. And as he's explaining to them, he explains that Jesus is the holy Messiah. He is the one that was promised to their ancestors long ago. That Jesus is the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob. And the healing they witnessed was for no other reason but the power found in the name of Jesus for those who have faith in Jesus. That's why it took place. There's nothing else that could heal the person that got healed. Then he goes on to explain how all the prophets point to Jesus and how God fulfilled what the prophets said about the Messiah in Jesus. So in Acts chapter 3, 24 through 26, it says these words. "Starting with Samuel, every prophet spoke about what's happening today. You are the children of those prophets. You're included in the covenant God promised to your ancestors. For God said to Abraham, 'Through your descendants, all the families on earth will be blessed.'" That's found in Genesis 12, verse 3, when God speaks to Abraham and initially calls him to go to the promised land. He says, "When you do so, all of your descendants will be blessed through you." And we know Jesus comes from the line of Abraham. And then in verse 26, Peter continues to say this. He says, "When God raised up his servant Jesus, he sent him first to you people of Israel to bless you by turning each of you back from your sinful ways." That is who Jesus is. Jesus is the one who fulfilled all of the promises of long ago. And that's the reason why we gather on Christmas Eve. It's to celebrate the birth of the promised one. To celebrate the birth of the one who was born of a virgin. The one who fulfilled the promises who is the eternal Word made flesh, who is Emmanuel, who is God with us. See, that promise was made so, so long ago. But that promise is still being kept today. Because Jesus is the promised one. Jesus is the eternal Word made flesh. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is the promised one who has come to us to defeat sin and death and the grave for our freedom and for our salvation from sin. He's the promised one who's come to crush the head of the serpent and destroy Satan for all of eternity. Jesus is the promised one who gives us life and life eternal. He's the fulfillment of every promise. He's the only reason why we gather to celebrate his birth. That long ago, the virgin conceived. Long ago, gave birth to a son who would be called Emmanuel, God with us. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. That is who Jesus is. He is the Promised One. The promise was made and the promise has been kept. God's been faithful time and time and time again. And because God is faithful, we can have faith. See, in Ephesians 2:8, it tells us that for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves, this is a gift from God. We are saved by grace through faith. A faith that is in Jesus, a faith that he is the promised one, that he is Emmanuel, the eternal Word made flesh. And knowing that God can be trusted, knowing that God has made these promises long ago and has continued to keep them, doesn't eliminate any doubt that we may feel or experience. The thing is, we can rest assured, though, knowing that God is faithful. And we can remember how faithful he has been time and time and time and time again. Because that's who he is. He is faithful. And because of the promise of Jesus, how it's come true, and how we have a God that will save us, that we get to spend eternity in heaven with him forever, we can have faith and we can have peace that is everlasting. We can experience joy that is unexplainable. We can experience a new depth of love. A love like we've never experienced. And we'll get to worship the King forever and ever and ever for all of eternity. See, God is a God who is faithful. And all he asks is our faith in return. Just for us to be faithful to him. And for us to put our trust in him. That's why Jesus came to us. He didn't come just to fulfill the promise. But Jesus came to be in a relationship with us. He came to live in us, to guide us, to lead us, to be with us. And today, maybe later tonight, into tomorrow, for all of time, as we remember the promise of God long ago, we celebrate the faithfulness of God, evidenced in the birth of Jesus. And as we celebrate, as we continue to worship in just a moment, I want to extend an invitation this morning. See, the thing is, I believe God is always faithful. God always has been faithful, and he will continue to be faithful. I want to extend the invitation to anybody who doesn't know Jesus. I want to extend the invitation to anybody who hasn't placed their faith in him. And it's a simple invitation. I'm going to ask for you to do something in a moment. If If you want to put your faith in Jesus, the promised one who came to us long ago. And this matters so much because it's a life-changing decision. When we ask Jesus into our lives, it's worth celebrating, just like the birth of Jesus on Christmas Day is worth celebrating, because that's the reason why Jesus actually came to us, was so that we would put our faith in him, so that we would be in a relationship with him and experience all that God has for us in this life and the next. So I'm going to ask you to do something today. I'm just going to ask everyone here to bow their heads and close your eyes. And if today is the day that you want to put your faith in Jesus, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. You can put your hands down. I'm just going to invite everyone to pray with me. And you don't have to pray this out loud. You can say this in your heart, in your mind, right there in your seat. But would you just pray this with me? Heavenly Father, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus alone, as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Amen. Jesus is the promised one. And we serve a God who is faithful and will always be faithful. So I'm going to invite the worship team to make their way back up here as we sing one last song, worshiping and honoring our God who is faithful time and time and time again. And I just want to say one more prayer as they're still making their way up here. So would you pray with me again? God, we thank you for who you are. God, that you sent us your son Jesus to make his dwelling here among us and to live with us. And so, Lord, today as we remember your faithfulness and the birth of Jesus, God, I pray that you would continue to move in this place. And God, we celebrate the hands that were raised who put their faith in you for the very first time or maybe again. God, would you continue to move in our lives, guide us, lead us, and direct us. And Lord, as we stand and worship you, would you continue to remind us how you are the God who has made a promise, has kept a promise, and will continue to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.